May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I love the poem again. It says, grant that by your inspiration we may think those things that are right, by your merciful guidance we may do them. And all of the lessons, even the song, is about thinking and doing. The song, actually, you know, take it home and read it every day, especially verse 2 and, well, all of them. If you, Lord, were to note what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? And that is the absolute truth. The author of this song was very aware. He was appreciative of the Lord our God. He had a relationship with him. And he knew about waiting. And we heard that so many times. So that's a clue. We're to sit and wait for the Lord. Why? Because we have redemption already. We have that. But still, we want to hear God's will. And that's what we learned about today. In Genesis, what happens first off? They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then, like as if God didn't know, he says to them, what the two had done, he says to them, where are you? And thank God there are no grandchildren here. But you know when you see kids run off and hide and it's very quiet, you know something's going on. Well, God knew too. And he knew exactly what was going on. And so the man says, well, I heard the sound of you in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And then here it comes. Well, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? With free will, it's a gift, but there's also responsibility. And what we hear next, and always wondered, of course, you know that it's a story to tell us about human nature. What if the man and woman had just told the truth? You know, what happened? The man says, and first, don't miss this one. This is great. The woman you gave me. In other words, it's God's fault. She gave me the fruit, so it's her fault. It's everybody else's fault but for him. And don't worry, the women get a little bit of that too later on. And then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And she does kind of the same thing. At least she doesn't blame God, but she still says, well, the serpent tricked me. He did it. And this is where it would have been good had they thought and done what God said. Remember, we want to think and do, think and do. Think what God would want us to do, and then do it. And we learn that in the call. With choices come repercussions, sometimes good and sometimes bad, not so good. And then we have the gospel, which is another awesome reading. The crowd came together again so that Jesus and his disciple could not even eat. Now, can you imagine how compelling Jesus must have been? Yes, we know that he's the Savior, but to have that many people around him that they didn't even have time to eat. So the family heard about it, and they went out to stop him. Well, there's no stopping Jesus because he's not afraid of public opinion. He's not afraid of what they're going to say or do. He wants to do God's will. And that's the point. They were afraid, and they wanted to protect him. I probably would have felt the same way. Can you imagine how Mary felt the day of his crucifixion? I don't blame them at all, but we learn we are to do God's will first and foremost. The people were saying that he had gone out of his mind. Well, the scribes had come down from Jerusalem, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and they were saying, well, he has Beelzebub. And by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons. I can just imagine that Jesus, you know, was thinking, wow, really? Did you just hear what you said? And so Jesus sits down very patiently and says, well, how can Satan, let's think of this logically, how can Satan cast out himself? How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, what happens? That kingdom can't stand. It just doesn't work. You ever see those t-shirts that say, I can't think stupid? Well, maybe we can, but Jesus can, and he does, eventually, for those who listen. And we even hear about that just a little bit in another paragraph or two. So what happens? We learn Jesus' ministry. Because Jesus tells them, he says, no one can enter a strong man's house, that's Satan, and Satan is just doing lots of evil, and human beings follow him sometimes and sin. So he's saying, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property, like change what's going on, without first tying him up. Well, that's what Jesus' ministry, his life, his death, his resurrection did. Jesus stopped the ability of Satan to absolutely destroy us. Yes, we can still sin, but when we turn to Jesus, when we turn to God and repent and change our ways and really try hard to follow his will, that's what Jesus made available to us. So what happens next? He's warning them. He's warning the scribes. He says, truly I tell you, people will be forgiven their sins. That's a comfort. And whatever blasphemies they utter, that's a comfort too. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Even now, we are to be careful not to insult, because all of us have the Holy Spirit in us. And when we actually insult somebody, like they were insulting Jesus, we better be careful, because we might want to rethink. And is my thinking right? Or is their thinking right? We need to mind what we say. We need to mind what we do and make sure that our thoughts, our words, and our actions match up to the Lord's. Because we don't want to be guilty of insulting the Holy Spirit. And so still, the family being worried, which I said before, I just don't blame them. There was a crowd, and they sent in, you know, because they really couldn't even get to Jesus. And the crowd says, hey, by the way, your mom and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you. And yes, Jesus loves his brothers, his mother, his sisters. He loves his family. He loves all of us. And that's the point. He loves them, all of them, and he loves all of us, those who are not even born yet, enough to do what he has done. And so what does he say? He doesn't run off and leave them. He knew they needed help, even the scribes that were complaining. So he says, well, who are my mother and my brothers?
And he looked around, and this is the lesson he was teaching them that day. Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you just truly guide our minds, control our minds, control our thoughts, our words, our actions, and help us to do what you want us to do each and every day, so that we can truly be Christ to the world. Continue this ministry of love and forgiveness. Spread the word that he has redeemed all of us, so that we are truly one with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name.